Yeah. Hey, welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. We're back from our vacation. Now, I don't know if you were listening to any of the pre-shows. If you're not a subscriber, you don't know what's been going on. The pre-shows that I produced and sent from Dubai and I sent from the Maldives contained vital information, one of which was, a bit of information, was that on the Friday night, not last Friday, the week before that, we went to, like, there was a bit of a party at the hotel, lots of dancing, singing, and somehow I lost my voice. I believe, someone told me that I was screeching out songs at a higher register than I should have. I think I remember probably trying to do some Frankie Valli. I forget. And then got into, any number of probably arguments and things. But I lost my voice a week ago Friday, and it's still a little rough. And so to that end, I apologize, but, what are you going to do? What we do have, though, for you today is an update, a recap of where I've been, where I'm going, who I am, where you're going, what you are, who we all are, what this planet means. Let me take that again. What I do have for you today is a recap of our vacation. Now, I'm trying to upload some home movies that I took there in Dubai and the Maldives. And they will be done here shortly. And when they are done, then we'll go ahead and roll them for you. But I thought what I would do is just give you the overall. First of all, it was fun. We stayed at a place called the Anantari Valley Resort in the Maldives. When we were in Dubai, we were at the Arabian Courtyard and Spa. Now, nothing fancy, but man, they had it all at this place, including like all kinds of restaurants and great location in the old town part of Dubai, which is where you want to be. I mean, a lot of people may be really impressed with those skyscrapers they have in Dubai. They've got these supersonic, wild, weird, futuristic looking, whatever you want to call them. Skyscrapers. I think that's what they're called. I could be wrong. I think they're called buildings, but I could be wrong. And so, you can go and you can look at those, which we did do for part of the trip. We went out and saw Ben and his wife, Jenny. Ben from Dubai is one of our BSPs and lives in Dubai and is a teacher there and was there to greet us and was a great, great guy. He set up a couple of things for us in old Dubai. But we went out and we had dinner with those guys in the marina. Pier 7, is that the name? Yeah, it was Pier 7 in the Dubai marina. Really, really modern part of Dubai. And, you drive through that city and you see every major brand there is from Samsung to Michelin to, Mercedes-Benz to, Apple. Everybody's located there. Everyone has an office there. It's kind of the crossroads, if you will, of the Middle East, if you will. If you won't, it still is the crossroads of the Middle East. So, but I don't think I was obnoxious enough to get the camera. I did take some still photos that you can see on any one of our fan pages, which, by the way, if you are interested, only if you're interested, our social media is facebook.com/ Phil Hendry Fans, PHANS. That's our Facebook fan page. We also have a BSPs and More page that was set up by our friend Melissa in Arizona. That's on Facebook. Over on Twitter, it's twitter.com/ Real Phil Hendry or twitter.com/ Phil Hendry Show. And then we're on Instagram, and that is Phil Hendry, PHILHENDRIE. We're on Instagram. We're on Snapchat, but I haven't been on Snapchat in so long that I got to go over there and blow it up and rebuild it. Something's wrong with it, man, because the link's all jacked up. But and then, of course, we do have, we've got a YouTube page or a YouTube site, which is The Real Bud Dickman. That is YouTube, www.youtube.com/ Real Bud Dickman. That's our page. Don't wear it out. All right. So as I mentioned, we took these home movies. Now they're going to be out of sync. Some of them are without audio. And I know what you're saying. Say, wait a minute. This jackball is coming into my home right now, or my car, wherever it is that I am right now. And he's going to show home movies, and I don't have a TV screen. Well, you're right. If you're a BSP, you can log in and watch these because we provide a daily video cast of the show. So if you have a backstage pass, you can watch this as we roll this stuff out. If you don't, I will do my very best to give you the word's eye view. You know, the I'll try to give you the color, the pageantry, and the glamour that are, you know, the Phil Hendry Show home movies. Now, I took these starting at LAX on the 7th. And I got to tell you something, and I don't mean to be, you know, I don't want to sound like this is a normal course for my life, because it isn't. Although, you know, traveling the distance that we did, going from LA to Dubai, that's a 16-hour flight, and then from Dubai to the Maldives, another 4 hours. So you're in the air 20 hours, not to mention the time you spend on the ground. I don't know about you, but I got to be comfortable. I can't do all of that, man, sitting on top of, like, sitting in someone else's lap. So we went ahead. We got a couple of business class seats, which is nothing. I mean, nothing compared to these first class seats they got in Emirates, which basically are small little suites. You get in, you close a door. I'm telling you, you sit down in your seat and you close a door. The business class on Emirates is better than any first class I've been on any other aircraft. That's, I don't know how else to put it. Better than any first class I've been on any other aircraft. They had everything, man. They had booze. They had women. They had, I'm kidding, but they had, you know, television, movies, videos, goofy things like here's where the airplane is and this is what it looks like. They had cameras out of the belly of the aircraft as you took off. They had cameras out of the nose of that thing. They had cameras out of the ass end of it. They had cameras on you if you just wanted to see what you looked like while being surveyed by the aircraft. I'm kidding. That's a joke. But they did. They had every kind of programming. And then, of course, you know, if you're a modern traveler, as I are, you got your iPhone or whatever you got, and you're bugging everybody with that. See, you're always constantly saying to the flight attendant, do you have a charger? Because mine, oh yes, and then they'll help you. The other thing they had on this Emirates aircraft, which was a, going over there, we were in an Airbus 380. Then from Dubai to the Maldives, I think it was a 777, which, and I don't want to put it down the airplane, it was phenomenal, but it wasn't as, you know, tricked out as the Airbus. And so that's where that was at. And then they had in the back of this Airbus, the big long flight you're taking from LA to Dubai, they had a bar, a little pub. You could go back there, stand there, talk to the guy who's, you know, serving up the drinks. They had snacks. I went back and I talked to a couple of guys, one of whom, a very nice Indian chap who was responsible for, he was one of the project managers on that big, tall, giant building in Dubai. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. It's the tallest building in the world. And I said, congratulations. He said, thank you very much. Then he went into the bathroom and vomited. Because my conversation was that bad, or more to the point, he'd been drinking far longer than I had because I had just got there. I'd just gotten on the plane. And a bunch of really, met a guy there who was an American who had started a water company. Now, what better idea could you possibly have? Start a water company in the desert. Right, in a big desert city. See, people say, why don't I have good ideas in business? Why can't I get ahead like the next guy? It ain't that hard. Hi, I'm in a desert, really? How about a water company? You got it. Where you get the water is your problem. But this guy had to, I think I still have his card someplace. So you could go back and you do that. And I did quite a bit of that. It's a long flight, so it doesn't matter what they do, man. They could have people coming in and, you know, fluffing the pillows for you. It's going to get kind of tiring. And coming home, I had my arm in a sling, and I'll tell you that story momentarily. But we get over there. We got off the plane and got into the old town of Dubai and spent a couple of days there. And I loved it, man. I like being in Old Town Dubai because that's where the interesting stuff is. I mean, like I said, you can go and look at skyscrapers all you want, but this is where the old city started. It was started by Persians. That's kind of an interesting thing, meaning Iranians are the first people to settle Dubai. And then we went and we did a food walk and we did this cultural breakfast thing and we did all the groovy things that you do when you are a tourist. And then at night we went and had dinner in one of several restaurants they had in the hotel. They also had restaurants in the area. Now, this was an interesting moment when Maria says to me, let's go get a drink outside of the hotel. I said, okay, where? She said, I don't know, let's just walk and the first place we find. So we go out the front of the hotel and we don't go more than, I don't know, a few steps where we see this little bistro at the corner of this street. right there on the waterfront. We're not too far from what they call the Dubai Creek. And we were right across the street from the Dubai Museum. I said, okay, let's go in here. So she orders a double vodka, and I got whatever the hell I got. I think I got a tequila or something. And they bring the drink, and she says to me, does that taste like vodka to you? I said, no. In fact, it tastes like water. And she said, that's what I thought too. And it turned out they'd given her water. So in other words, she ordered a double vodka with, I don't know, some goofy cranberry juice or some, and they gave her a water. So I said, hi, this is water. And they said, really? Yes. And they sniffed it and they went, hmm. I said, yeah, that's not vodka. That's water. That's pure water. Just to make a long story short, here's what I think happened. I think these are two workers that didn't know the difference, honest to God. I think that it's a Muslim country, and so there's, the booze is like not exactly high on the list of things to do on a Friday night. I don't think they knew from vodka. She sniffed it. She didn't know. And we said, well, we're not going to pay for that. And there was a slight pause there where she wanted to charge us for the drink anyway. And I said, well, okay, we'll pay for it. And my better half, Maria, said, no, we won't. And I thought, okay, I don't know what's going to happen here, but I guess we won't. And we didn't. And they didn't push it. But I think one of the reasons why they wanted to charge us is they may work for some cat that's rather, demanding, shall we say. And I think that that's probably what... I think that's probably what was motivating them a little bit. They got to charge us, even if it's water, right? Because there's a guy who's going to bust on them if they don't charge us. Like if I were to say to the guy, you served me water? Yes, but I still have to charge you the full price. Because why? Well, because the guy that I work for doesn't get it. He doesn't. So I think I tweeted out something like, we know the difference between, I went to Twitter for everything. Not really. But I think I tweeted something like, you know, we know the difference between vodka and water. So that was a thrilling moment experience. And needless to say, that was the last time we went in there for a pop. So that was Dubai. And I'm giving you the really shortened version. We went and saw, I think I told you, we went and saw Ben and Jenny down at the marina. And we're on our way to the Maldives. And that was in, maybe a couple of hours. We'd be jumping on the plane at Dubai. Bang. Goodbye. We're out of here. We're heading to the Maldives. So I'll have that story for you right after this. Hi, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Lindry Show here. It's Monday, the 23rd of September, 2019. I'm just back from Dubai and the Maldives, back from our vacation, and thought we'd ease into this thing today for a variety of reasons, one of which is that I blew my throat out. I blew my throat out about a week ago, Friday, partying. And, well, you know how it is. So who needs to make things worse when you can make things better? And that's what we're going to do here today. And by that, I mean, we're going to give you a further description of how things went on vacation there in Dubai and the Maldives. So where I left off, and by the way, we're uploading some home movies as we speak. As soon as I get these uploaded, I'll go ahead and switch over to them. I remember saying, I got to take some home movies. I don't know what I'm going to take home movies of, but I got to do it. One extra point about the Maldives is, or excuse me, about Dubai is that they have this creek, as I mentioned, and we went across the creek one day to visit with Tanya Raymond. Tanya is she's in the tour business. She's a native of Dubai, lives in Dubai, and has a tour company. And she, among the many things she does, is she takes you on a walking tour of the food stops in the souk, which is the sort of the the bazaar or the shopping area, you know, with the shops. You know, you've seen it in all the movies where you go down the thing and there's a guy there with the headdress. And I'm trying to be respectful, but I'm too stupid to know what it's called. Anyway, we did do that and stopped and had any number of delightful treats along the way. But I got some video of that. Did I look like a tourist? Yeah. Did I care? No. Do I take tour buses? Yes. Do I stand there and ask dopey questions? Yes. How else do you get to learn about a city? I don't know. Now, you could take time out of your life to just take yourself on your own guided tour, not knowing where you're going, And it'll take about 6 months, not only to get to know the town, but to get to know where not to go and to, you know, recuperate from the beating you take walking into the wrong places. So we were in Dubai, then we went to the Maldives, and each its own unique experience. But where I left off just before the break, we're getting on the plane and we're heading to the Maldives. And by the way, not that it's of any great interest. In fact, it was kind of cool. When I travel, I don't know how you are, but when I travel, it really disappoints me when I run into other Americans. That's not that I got anything against Americans, but when I'm traveling, I don't want to see one. I don't need to see another American. I don't want to listen to them. I'd rather just be where I am and be around those people. And the good news is, in this part of the world, there are not a whole hell of a lot of Americans. The reason, primarily, well, who knows what the reason is, but for me, it would be the distance. It's a long way to go. Dubai ain't bad. It's about 16 hours in a plane. You can do that standing on your head. In fact, I never knew in my life how fast 16 hours could actually go, especially when you fly in a great airline like Emirates. But it is a long way. And when we finally got to the Maldives, there was one couple we met from the States, and we never would have met them had they not been sitting right across the aisle from us on the plane going over there. They were from New Jersey, really nice people, and we got to talking about them, and this was a vacation they'd been planning on for a long time. And they were the only Americans that I met in the entire trip that we took over there. And we only saw them for the brief time that we were on the plane with them. Got off the plane, got over to the resort that we were at, and got into our bungalow over the water. And, you know, that's nuts. The first thing you do is you get into your bathing suit, you're diving off the back of your deck, and you're swimming around with the fishes, and you're sleeping with the fishes, and you know, you're doing what you do with the fish. Whatever it is you do is your business. And I looked up, and there were my neighbors. They're the people on the plane from New Jersey whooping it up and dancing on their deck, so I knew that they were going to have a good time. That's the last time I saw them until we got ready to leave, which was about, 12 days later. And I suspect they did what the rest of us did, which is hide out in the room and do what you do, as well as eat the food you eat and drink the booze you drink and go to the little places that you go to that's around that area. I mean, there's a ton of these places, ton of these islands that are all connected by way of a ferry boat or by way of a pier, or you can swim. And on one particular day, Maria and I swam off the back of this bungalow we had, swam across this lagoon to an island, walked around the beach on that island, and then swam across again to another island where there was this spa and a number of other restaurants, and then another ferry that you could take to this tiki bar island. The whole thing is way, way out there. You'll be glad you did. Okay, now, mentioning the spa, I want to just say hello to Dwight Taylor, who's one of our great, great supporters there over the BSP, on the Phil Hendry Show fan page. I don't know whether Dwight's a BSP, but he messaged me. He said, and Dwight said to me, Phil, if you get a chance, stop into the spa there. My aunt, Melissa, or as she calls herself, Missy, is the director of the spa. And sure enough, we did. We left a message for her, and she's a hell of a nice lady. I don't know where the hell we were. Oh, no, we were getting off a boat, going somewhere. And it was probably at the end of the workday, and all of a sudden this little lady, very pretty, named Melissa, says, Hi, I'm Dwight's aunt, Melissa, and I saw your note. And so we were very happy to meet her. She stopped by and had a couple of drinks with us that night, gave us the whole rundown on leaving the farm in Missouri to become eventually a spa director, and you know, doing it not just there, but all over the world. I mean, I think stories like that are pretty interesting. I left the farm and ... It could be I left the farm and became a farmer somewhere else. It could be I left the farm, but the farm didn't leave me. Or I left the farm and I became a professional golfer. I left the farm and I got into fashion modeling. I left the farm and became an astronaut. There's a lot of places you can go once you leave the farm. And becoming a spa director, it probably makes a lot of sense because you get to see the world and get out of and away from the rural nature that of your life. That I better stop talking because I don't know anything about farm life, and maybe that's a good thing. As Phil Hendry here, it's our Phil Hendry website, our Phil Hendry podcast here on the website and elsewhere for this Monday, the 23rd of September, 2019. Just got back from vacation, just pulled in, and wrecked my throat while I was over there. You know, it's actually almost 100%, but I thought I'd take today and give it another, you know, few hours of rest. I got a bunch of stuff I got to do today anyway. But, and when I say today, I mean tomorrow, because this is actually Sunday night, and you know how that goes. Now, once we had our dinner with Missy and got caught up on all the information about her family and her life, she's getting married, she's moving to, she actually lives in the Maldives, and is marrying a Maldivian gentleman who also has a couple of kids. They're going to live in Mali, which is the capital of the Maldives. And once we get these home movies uploaded, you'll see that I've got, there's actually one shot I have of the skyline of the Maldives, of Mali, that you see through the spray of the speedboat as we go about 800 miles an hour from the hotel, from the airport to the hotel, and this wild-looking mosque. And that's the other thing about traveling in a Muslim country. You see a lot of women wearing the traditional Muslim dress. I don't know whether you would call it a hijab or a burqa or however it is, you know, whatever term is applicable. You did see a lot of really super conservative looking Muslim dress for women, all the way to what one would say is just the bare minimum, you know. But it was everywhere. And among young people, I mean, younger couples. It was kind of an interesting question that I got asked by somebody on 9/11. They said, how does it feel being in a Muslim country on 9/11? I said, I you know, what's that got to do with anything, man? I think people are, I don't want to get too heavy, but I think people are scared when they see anything having to do with Muslims, because they think about all that negative stuff. And for me, it was very interesting for me, but I wanted to get some pictures of it, and I say it, of them, but every time I raised my camera, I looked like a real jag-off tourist. And even though I am a jag-off tourist, I didn't want to look like one. Yeah. All right. Now, thank you. So, as I applaud myself, so we're in the Maldives now, and our life there consisted of the following thing. And I'll leave out some things because it's really none of your business. But our life there consisted of waking up, taking a swim, walking over to get some breakfast, then walking back, getting into the bathing suit, coming on back and using the infinity pool or the beach and swimming and hanging all day, and then going back and getting ready for dinner and then going to dinner. In other words, it's exactly how we lived our lives when we first went to Mexico, when we were first married, and it's exactly how I've lived my life ever since when I'm on vacation. I don't know about anybody else. There are some things that I like to do when I'm by myself. I like to snorkel, you know, and if I'm in a new city, I'm just that kind of a jackass. I take that city tour on the tour. I do that. I do all that because as far as I'm concerned, that's the best way to see a city and to find out about a city that you've never been in before. Take that double-decker, whatever the hell, tour, and don't care what anybody says about it. Just take it, you know, and go, and you can ask all kinds of questions. You find out about a place. Now, they didn't exactly have that. In the Maldives. So I defaulted to my usual, which is, you know, get up, swim, go over, have food, come back, swim, drink, go over, get ready, have dinner, go back, and then you do whatever the hell you want to do. When the sun's down, I know what it is that I want to do. So, and try that sometime. Just applaud yourself while you're talking. It bucks you up. It lifts the spirits. You can close your eyes and think it's somebody else. Yeah, thank you. It works. So that was really kind of how we did things. And what you'll see rolling out in our home movies is how that all, one particular day, for instance, we played Boggle. And they had all kinds of games there, Boggle and Scrabble. We even stole someone's Scrabble game only to find out the next day. Mr. Henry, yes, did you take a Scrabble game? I said, yeah, we did. That belonged to the couple down here. I said, it belonged to them? Well, it's the hotel Scrabble game, but they were playing it. I said, no, I understand. But it looked like they weren't there because it had been like hours. Yeah, well, they got up and they left. And they were drinking, and then they went back to their room and did what they do, but they left their Scrabble game, and it's supposed to be, yeah, you're not supposed to touch it. Okay, who knew? So I gave him, he said, well, do you want to reset the game up the way it was? I said, not really. He said, I'm only kidding, Mr. Henry, and for that lousy joke, let me bring you another free round of drinks. And that's what pushed me over the edge. I wound up just what I call free vomiting all night. I'm only kidding. But he did ask me, what did you do with the Scrabble game? And I said, I took it and threw it in the ocean. What do you think about that? And he said, hey. All right. So, and that was interesting. Now, there was another couple, and you will also see this on the home movie. No, they weren't bugging me, and they were simply a European couple. And I would look around to say, well, at this place, most of the people were younger than us. So that, I think, was a plus. And by that, I mean, we found a place where actually young people like to go, which means there's probably lots to do here. And if I choose to do it, I'll do it. And if I don't, I won't have to. And you know, that's kind of my thinking. But there was one or two couples that are almost our age. And one of them I grew fascinated with because they were big Boggle and Scrabble players sitting out there on the perimeter of the infinity pool near the Maldivian Ocean, whatever the hell, the Arabian Sea, I think is it's called the Arabian Sea, that's part of the Indian Ocean. That's what we were on. These folks were enjoying themselves playing a game. And at one point, I think I said to the camera, I don't know whether they're Dutch, whether they're German, whether they're British, but they're bugging me. And I was kidding, of course. I hope you know that I was kidding. But they were the only other couple that we saw there, other than our friends from New Jersey, that were European. Everyone else, literally, everyone else was from Asia. They were from the Middle East. I didn't hear English spoken at all, with the exception of maybe one or two Australian or New Zealand couples that were there. And that's cool. I mean, these are the kinds of things that I value in a vacation. I mean, not that I have anything against my countrymen or my home country, but I'm taking a vacation away from all that, excuse my language, shit. And I'm going somewhere where I can be free, man. Man, that's all I want to be, is free. All right, so having done all of that, on one particular given afternoon, I was engaged in some kind of strenuous exercising of the arms and the shoulders. It could have been when I was climbing up out of the water on this metal ladder, which was very kind of a radical climb, and it took a little bit of strength. And at the very top of these steps, you had to kind of balance yourself. But then again, I'm speaking as an old man. Were I about half my age, it probably would have been nothing like, oh, you go up the steps, then you go in and you have yourself a drink. Nonetheless, it could have been that. It could have been something else. But by that evening, I'd say about halfway through our time in the Maldives, my left shoulder and my left arm were just absolutely aching. I mean, I was in agony. And there was no position, no particular place that I could put my arm or twist my body or lay on my side or on my back. There was no position I could put myself in that would alleviate this pain. And it wasn't funny. And you know how it is, especially when you can't sleep, you got somebody with you. And the last thing you want to do is keep them awake. So I'm getting up and I'm walking around trying to get rid of this pain. I was unsuccessful. So a big shout out to the physician there, the hotel doctor there at the Anantari Valley Resort in the Maldives, who was summoned by a couple of our food servers the next day, a guy named Bokey, B-O-K-E-Y, and another dude with an equally exotic name of George. And they said, don't worry about it, Mr. Henry, here it comes. And with great fanfare, it looked like he was coming in. It was almost like Muhammad Ali entering the arena. There were like 15 people around him and just, yeah. Here comes his doctor. He's got his little overnight bag, and he looked a little frightened because Marie and I were looking at him with these hopeful European faces. You see, and the arm, and he sort of stood back, and he had that big wide-eyed sort of Indian look with the very dark eyes, and he had on his white intern doctor's uniform. He looked like, he looked like the Indian Dr. Kildare is what he looked like. And he had, like I said, this little red bag. And he said, well, what happened? I said, what happened was, let me just back up and tell you, my shoulder was already injured because he was concerned, as I can understand he would be, that the injury took place there on their property, and then I would turn around and probably want to sue or otherwise make them liable for something. And I don't really play that kind of a game. People may think I'm dumb. They may think, you're leaving money on the table, Phil, but no, I don't do it. So this cat says to me, I say cat, this Indian doctor said, what happened? I said, I injured this shoulder 2 years ago. I fell down some stairs and I separated my shoulder, as you can see. And I showed him my shoulder. If you've ever had or seen a separated shoulder, it's pretty evident. I mean, it's like a bump in the shoulder because there's two bones that should be attaching and are not. And I said, that happened 2 years ago. And I believe I did something to exacerbate the pain or irritate the muscle or something like that. And he said, I'll tell you what I'll do is I'll give you a anti-inflammatory, a muscle relaxant. And Maria's there saying, do you have anything for the pain? And he said, you see, if it is an anti-inflammatory, that will reduce the pain. And she said, okay. And so then he gave me that. He also gave us an analgesic cream to rub on it and a shoulder sling. And I'm a big believer in slings, man, whether it's the Singapore sling or a regular sling that you would put your arm in. This is one of the greatest inventions in the history of man because it automatically relaxes and takes the pressure off of whatever injury you have there, either in the arm or the shoulder, and it goes a long way toward healing. So if you have a sore shoulder, if you've got a sore arm and you haven't been to a doctor and you probably don't need to, get a sling, man. Just stick your arm in that sling. That's what I did. Thanks to this doc, and that's what, and along with the anti-inflammatory, within about 3 hours, it was gone. And it was a pretty miraculous thing because I had, man, I'll tell you, I had not gotten an ounce of sleep the night before. That's how much that sucker hurt. Now, a reminder that today's video cast is the length of home movies that I took. It's the recording of these movies from the Maldives and from Dubai. That's today's video cast. You won't see me in studio doing the show. You will instead see these little images of fun and frivolity there from Phil and Maria's vacation time. If you don't have a BSP, I suggest you get one. It's a very cost-effective way of keeping up on what we do and the things that we have and the insane places that we go, at least in terms of inside between the ears, and occasionally, on an Emirates jet. So, guys, thank you for hanging with us throughout our weekend, throughout our vacation weeks, over our weekend, and now we're back. We've got coming up this coming weekend. We'll be back to our chat. We'll be back to our movie of the week, our Saturday cinema, and we're going to be having a marathon. Not this coming weekend, but the following weekend, we'll be back to our usual character marathons, okay? Thank you all. Love you. Can't live without you. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. World famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by this guy here, Phil Hendry, for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved to podcast one.